Lord's Prayer. To seriously discuss the topic of God, one must have experienced a material sense of life to its fullest and have come to the conclusion that the entire effort was futile, for it produced nothing of any lasting value. It was just a circle that had a beginning, but when one got to the end, nothing had been gained of any value whatsoever. It's like the story of the man that had accomplished a lot of great things. And when asked how could he do so much good for humanity, and he said there was a day when he bent over towards the ground and he kept going lower and lower and lower until he realized there was nothing of value in himself. But the only thing that mattered was God. That was the beginning of his success. It's like the widow woman that Jesus referred to, as related in both Mark 12, verse 43 to 44, and Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. And it refers to a widow woman who gave two small coins, each one worth about a half a penny. These were considered the smallest denomination of coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and pointed out her action. Quote, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." To her, this was giving to God, and this was a symbol of giving up everything else and yielding all to God. The scientific statement of being states that there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. In the Lord's Prayer, the first verse is, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And the spiritual interpretation by Mary Baker Eddy is, "Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious." Therefore, our real father and mother is God. Father represents giving life. Mother represents nurturing that life to wholeness. Taking the little babe, the original idea, and nurturing it to completeness. Genesis 1 states, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. On page 502, which is the beginning of the key to the scriptures, in chapter 15, entitled Genesis, Maybecker Eddy states the following. The infinite has no beginning. This word beginning is employed to signify the only, that is, the eternal verity and unity of God and man, including idea and the universe, the creative principle, life, truth, and love is God. The universe reflects God. There is but one creator and one creation. This creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. These ideas range from the infinitesimal to infinity, and the highest ideas are the sons and daughters of God. This inspired interpretation by Maybecker Eddy opens up the door to an infinite possibility of getting on the path of infinite progression, which leads to concrete being. It is a forever opportunity. God is infinite, therefore concrete being is a reflection of the infinite. There's no end. So we must always be pursuing infinite concrete being. Maybecker Eddy states that the most important thing between success and failure is how we use our moments. She also indicates that prayer without ceasing is living the prayer. So we must use the moments, no matter what we're doing, the moments need to be in the realm of spiritual thinking, talking, and acting. Everything we do, no matter what we're doing, we need to be doing it in a manner that expresses love, which means that whatever we're doing must be a benefit to all humanity. It doesn't matter whether we're walking down the street and we see someone or some event that needs attention, or whether we're in the quiet of our own sanctuary of spirit, seeking a better understanding of truth in order to be on the infinite progression, getting a little bit more of the truth than what we understood the last time we studied. But our entire animus must be in pursuit of expressing through our beacon light, like a lighthouse, expressing God, being a reflection of the manifestation of God. There is nothing automatic about being a son or daughter of God. It is earning that title through continuous effort in striving for infinite progression. Then we can reflect what Mary Baker Eddy states is the real meaning of in the beginning, as stated in Genesis chapter 1, the first verse. Are we going to do it? Genesis 1 states that we have to let God create man in his image and likeness. That means we have to open our door of consciousness and let ourselves reflect the true image and likeness of God. God already created everything, but it is up to us individually to accept the label, to live it, to practice it, to translate everything that comes before us into a spiritual realm and apply the qualities of God in the way we are handling the situation. Recognizing there's an opportunity, accepting the challenge, and living the Christ consciousness. If we've realized that every other effort that we may make is a futile effort, if it is an effort believing in life, truth, and intelligence being in matter, and that the only real effort of value is the effort toward spiritual understanding at a higher level than where we were the last time that we devoted a moment to searching our status to see how we can improve. Prayer without ceasing is continuous effort in the right direction, being on that infinite path of spiritual progress, aiming toward the infinite concrete being. Looking at chapter 1 in the Christian Science textbook on page 14, it states, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Spiritual sanctuary. So spake Jesus. The closet typifies the sanctuary of spirit, the door of which shuts out sinful sense, but lets in truth, life, and love. Closed to error, it is open to truth, and vice versa. The Father in secret is unseen to the physical senses, but He knows all things and rewards according to motives, not according to speech. To enter into the heart of prayer, the door of the erring senses must be closed. Lips must be mute, and materialism silent, that man may have audience with spirit, the divine principle, love, which destroys all error. Effectual invocation. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. We must, quote, pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered insofar as we put our desires into practice. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. Trustworthy beneficence. Christians, rejoice in secret beauty and bounty, hidden from the world, but known to God. Self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. Practice, not profession. Understanding, not belief. Gain the ear and right hand of omnipotence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. Trustworthiness is the foundation of enlightened faith. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. Loftiest adoration. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer is not one of faith merely. It is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. The prayer of Jesus Christ. Our Master taught his disciples one brief prayer, which we name after him the Lord's Prayer. Our Master said, quote, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." And then he gave that prayer which covers all human needs. There is indeed some doubt among Bible scholars whether the last line is not an addition to the prayer by a later copyist. But this does not affect the meaning of the prayer itself. In the phrase, quote, "deliver us from evil," the original properly reads, quote, "deliver us from the evil one." This reading strengthens our scientific apprehension of the petition. For Christian Science teaches us that, quote, "the evil one," or one evil, "is but another name for the first lie and all liars." Only as we rise above all material sensuousness and sin can we reach the heaven-born aspiration and spiritual consciousness which is indicated in the Lord's Prayer, and which instantaneously heals the sick. Here, let me give what I understand to be the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Hallowed be thy name, adorable one. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Amen. This is page 17, chapter 1 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, and the end of the chapter.